Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. I do have Simon Clancy here. I have Chris Kaufman here. And before we do the news, let me welcome a new sponsor to the show, ShipYourCarNow.com. These guys can move your car, boat, RV, motorcycle, or equipment anywhere you need in the world. Are you a business owner and need to ship freight or machinery? Call them. Move away to college or just leaving the state. Don't drive your car there. Ship it there. Call our friends at ShipYourCarNow.com. Here is the number, 1-800-264-4644. One more time, 1-800-264-4644. Or, of course, visit them at shipyourcarnow.com/5reasons. Don't forget to mention 5 reasons when you give them a call. There's no job too big or too small. Give them a call and see what Ship Your Car Now can do for you. All right, guys. So we had some news this week. One of which, of course, is that Russell Wilson is no longer going to be available to us. He's a Seahawk for life, it seems. But there was some other stuff on Rashad Jones. What was it, Simon?
Essentially, he's not going to perform at the voluntary minicamp. He has decided to train on his own. Brian Flores was asked whether or not it was an issue. He said lots of people have trained away during a voluntary minicamp. Then he was asked whether or not Rashad was unhappy and whether or not he wanted to be traded, to which he replied, you'd have to speak to Rashad about that, kind of opening up what seems like a bit of a fissure. Although Flores says that he and Jones speak every day, but I would suspect that he would be definitely somebody that, as we've discussed many times, will look to be potentially moved. I mean, he's not going to be cut. Chris has made that fairly obvious in his voluminous post that people don't seem to quite understand, but and I'm not entirely sure why, because it's pretty obvious. but yeah, it looks like not cracks at all, but you know, Rashad Jones is 30 years old. Why would he want to be part of a rebuild? You know, he's probably not got that long left in his career in terms of, you know, his declining health, and you probably want to try and win. You don't want to play for a team that's going to finish, you know, bottom of the pile. And I kind of understand that. So we'll see how it plays out.
Pile is the operative word here.
I thought the way if you watch the press conference, the way that Brian Flores handled it was a little bit, I don't know, odd. He tried to gloss over it as much as he could, really, while being upfront about it, that Rashad Jones is not there and he's not going to be there. And he emphasized, I mean, he probably used the word voluntary about 15 times and really emphasized that, and which is odd because if you think about, you know, sort of the gruff attitude of Bill Belichick and New England. And I don't think that he would really emphasize that it's voluntary. I think he wants everybody there, but Brian Flores was kind of like, you know, really making nice about it. Like, this is no big deal. We've been in contact. It's voluntary. It's no big deal. No big deal. And then he was sort of like laughing when he said that you're going to have to ask Rashad about that if it's, you know, if he's unhappy with anything or anything like that. I think that there's a strong chance that the Dolphins have, you know, just like they did with Robert Quinn, just like they did with Ryan Tannehill, have basically said, you know, hey, if there are any suitors out there, any trade suitors out there, or potential trade suitors out there, why don't you go ahead and negotiate a new deal with them, and then we'll see if we can make it happen. And that's what happened with Ryan Tannehill. That's what happened with Robert Quinn. And maybe they told Rashad Jones the same thing, and maybe his reaction to that is, well, okay, if I'm out the door, you know, I'll be there. Because Brian Flores emphasized he's been there at every meeting, right? Mm-hmm. He's been in the classroom with them. He's just not at this mini camp. He's doing his own thing. And so maybe Rashad Jones's response to that is, well, if I'm out the door, I'm not going to go out there and perform at a mini camp where I can get injured. Right. Or something like that, and risk that for a team that it doesn't appear that I'm going to play on. That's sort of my theory, my running theory on it.
Now, let me ask you guys one thing. I'm going to ask you first, Simon. I look at Rashad Jones, and I think he would be an invaluable piece to a team that was trying to win a Super Bowl. If he was making, let's say, $6 million a year, You don't think we would have gotten a third round pick for him by now?
No.
Really?
Not a third.
No, too much. Way too much. Fifth, maybe?
I think a fourth is a possible, but you know, fourth is possible. A third is way too much. He'd have to be young. He'd have to be younger to be worth a third to somebody. But I think that it's possible that Miami could eat enough of his cap space, volunteer to eat enough of his cap space to make him attractive to a team like, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, maybe they'd be willing to part with a pick for him. That's been floated to me for, you know, several times over the last couple of months, actually, specifically with Rashad Jones. So, you know, maybe, but I, right now he's got like $13 million due or something like that. And $11 million of it is guaranteed. And I don't, who's even going to give a conditional seventh for that? I don't know.
No, I don't know anybody. It's a disaster contract.
Yeah, so whatever we get for him is going to be, you know, to the extent that we're willing to eat cap space and sell it, I guess, if you will, like we did with Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, and of course, in other news, Ryan Fitzpatrick is fat. All right, let's move on. Linebackers in this year's draft. Chris, I look at this slate of linebackers, and I'm trying to – and it's happening to me again. It happens to me every single year around this time. I look at these guys so much that by this point, right before the draft, I just want to trade every single one of our picks for picks next year because I've found every single flaw in every single one of these guys. But is there anybody – can you see them? First of all, can you see them using a first-round pick on a linebacker? And the second part of that question is, can you see them using a second-round pick on a linebacker?
Ultimately, no, I don't see them using – I think they'll consider it. They'll strongly consider it because I know that Devin White and Devin Bush – in particular, intrigue them, and they're paying attention.
They absolutely should.
You're right. They're really good players. They're worth first round picks. They do all of the things that Miami would want, and that's the important thing. Miami has like sort of a specific thing that they want out of their linebackers in terms of pass rush and blitzing, and both of those guys are good pass rushers and blitzers. Mm. So even though they don't have like the ideal size, I think that Miami might want. In terms of what they present as blitzers, they do. So they should be intrigued, and they are, and they're working both of those guys out. Ultimately, do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't think either one of those guys are going to end up the pick one way or another. However it works out, I just don't have a feeling it's not going to be. But they should be because those are really good players, and I think that they stand at the top. They should stand at the top. They should be first round picks. Personally, I would say, you know, I was floored by the film that I watched on Blake Cashman of Minnesota. And I thought that he belongs, you know, sort of up there with those guys as well-rounded, extremely instinctual linebackers that can move. And I mean, really move, like really move well and physical, you know, good leverage, good hands, everything. I think those are complete linebackers. They're not, you know, 100% of a strike, you know, square on what Miami is looking for. I think Miami's looking for more of a big guy, like a 6'2", 6'3", 250-pound, you know, very strong type of player who can play off-ball linebacker on one down and then the next down move out to the outside and play like a pass rushing outside linebacker, somebody like that. I think the most square hit that you get, and Simon, you've talked about him before, we've talked about him, is Jelani Tavai of Hawaii. Mm. And I think that might be the best fit, but certainly there are strong, this is an important position, Simon, I think, for Miami transitioning to a New England style defense, because they don't have linebackers that do what New England's linebackers can do.
Absolutely. And we've been told that, you know, that
Jerome Baker,
McMillan has been studying Dante Hightower, that Jerome Baker has been studying Carl Van Noy in terms of how they want to play, you know, and Baker has that ability, you know, move him around. He's a chess piece. He's a kid that can attack the line of scrimmage. He can blitz. He can cover. You know, he can do all sorts of things. He is undersized, but he's probably not that much more undersized than a couple of linebackers that the Patriots have got on the roster. In terms of the draft, I mean, you make the point, Tavai's, you know, the Hawaii kid just looks like he could fit a lot of bills. I mean, I'm on record as saying that I think Devin Bush is the best linebacker in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, you know, there is so much that he does. Well, you know, you watch him play. He's got just a snap on contact. He has range. He's got great hands. He disengages better than any linebacker in the draft. I think Devin White's very. I think White perhaps lacks some of those top level instincts. I think it's a bit of a drop off then to Mack Wilson. But the Dolphins have been showing, as we've been talking about, certainly on our social media accounts, if you've been following those, the Dolphins have been showing an awful lot of interest in an awful lot of linebackers. You know, they've had lots of people in for visits. I mean, I'm just looking at a list now. I mean, I think Terrell Hanks is a guy that's been in. Trey Lamar of Clemson has been in. Tavion Coney of Notre Dame has been in. We've shown interest in, where are we? Jelani Tavai, as we talked about. Khalil Hodge, I think. Sione Takitaki of BYU came in the other day, the Maryland kid, whose name escapes me, but he...
Trey Lamar.
He was somebody else. Trey Watson.
Sorry, Trey Watson.
Trey Watson. You know, there's all sorts. It's been fascinating. They're clearly not happy, or they're clearly, you know, want to make some moves in those directions. Chris is another guy that we both like. You've certainly been on the Amike Egbule of Houston, another guy that really heavy-handed, sort of fits the profile in terms of 6'3", 250, in terms of that sort of New England linebacker. I think there's a number of really interesting players in this draft that I certainly think we might invest two, maybe even three picks across the draft board, but certainly I think two would not surprise me to see two linebackers coming in. There are some interesting players. You know, if you're looking for off-ball linebackers, I think you'll find them. And you know, you look at the top end. Look, it feels like Devin White's going to go off the board if we stay at 13 before that pick.
Yeah,
Bush and White might both be off the board.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And I think Bush certainly goes off the board before 20, and probably in the top 15, actually. So you kind of feel like you're going to have to stay at 13 if you want to take Bush, because if you do trade down, I don't think you're going to be able to get him. The drop off.
Then you watch the Buccaneers and the Broncos, because they're both top linebacker.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the drop off to Mack Wilson, who doesn't feel like he's the kind of that doesn't really feel like the right kind of guy. And then it's a bit of a toss-up as to who you feel is next. And there's some, you know, it's interesting to see some of the names that they are bringing in. You know, the Takitaki kid from BYU. Mm-hmm. You watch his game against Wisconsin when BYU shocked Wisconsin at the start of the year. I think he had 23 tackles in that game. He's absolutely everywhere. But he's not a guy that fits the style, the size, you know, the height,
not the
weight.
Size. No, but absolutely. But I'll give you this: in 2017, he was a pass rusher.
Absolutely,
that was his position. His position absolutely. Was an outside linebacker pass rusher. And then in 2018, he moved to the interior to be like a middle linebacker type, and that makes him fit what Miami wants, because they want the half and half guy, right?
Absolutely.
Let me give you a name that, since I watch a lot of ACC football. This guy was extremely productive last year, and I've seen all the grades that he gets, and everything has him like somewhere, you know, mid-round, maybe third, fourth, even possibly fifth round. But he's always struck me as a really good prospect, and that's Jermaine Pratt of North Carolina State. What's wrong with him, and what's right with him, Simon?
Oh, I mean, he's an interesting guy. I mean, I haven't seen that much of him. But what I have seen of him, I think he's a, I mean, he's, what is he? I'm just looking at his height right now. He's what, 6'2", 240. Yeah. I mean, he's a little, the runs are what, 4'5"? Was it 4'5"? 4'5"? 4'7"? Out the combat.
He's
exactly.
He's a pretty heavy, like, he's a pretty heavy thudding dude. Like, he plays
with
mass.
A lot of violence. Like, if you watch him, he sticks people.
I honestly think he over-pursues a little bit.
And I think he struggles to get off blocks a little bit. Just stuff there. Yeah, he's another guy as well, isn't he? I think, wasn't he a DB?
He started his career at North Carolina State as a free safety. And actually
That's right. I think he's played inside, he's played outside, he's played free safety. So in terms of that versatility, certainly that is intriguing. I think Chris is right in terms of the over pursuit. I think it's times also he struggles to get off blocks, but he's quick. He's instinctive. He's a good tackler. He's not my cup of tea, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I think there are linebackers I like much more than him. But it would be boring if we were like the same guy.
To Alf's point that you were making earlier, it was like you're saying, I just want to lay off all these guys. I find all the flaws in them, and you know, I'm just like, wait till next year. A lot of linebackers, I have a lot of the same experience when I'm watching these linebackers. I just feel like every time I move on to these different linebackers, I'm like, well, I've seen you before. You know, I mean, there's so many of them look and play exactly the same, and it's not very interesting. You know, and sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes Jermaine Pratt is like that to me. Is like, well, yeah, but I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I'm seeing it in some of these other guys. I feel like I'm seeing it in Tavon Coney. I feel like I'm seeing it in Mac Wilson. I feel like I'm seeing it in Cameron Smith or Bobby Okereke, or, you know, like they're running together. They're not really, you're not really showing me something that says, okay, you're going to end up being a really strong linebacker at the next level. I think Jermaine Pratt really does close on the quarterback really well when he's blitzing. I mean, he makes some really nasty hits, and he's got size to him. I think he's got mass to him with the way he hits. And that's but he's also a little off leverage a lot because maybe he took a couple steps too far or something like that. That's my criticism.
The two things I think that stand out for him is, and as I mentioned, the free safety. He doesn't look unnatural in coverage at all. He's a guy that you can line up into. You know, he's a three down player. But secondly, he's as I mentioned, his tackling. He is a sure tackler, and in the modern game, you don't. You know, there are less and less sure tacklers. You know, the Cashman kid that we talked about in Minnesota, he's a good tackler. You know, but I think you look around the NFL, there aren't that many. Maybe 15 years ago, there were lots of sure tacklers. I don't think there's nearly as many. And whether it's coaching thing, whether it's a concussion thing, whether it's the fact that, college practices are less and less, NFL practices are less and less. They don't go full speed nearly as much as they used to. I wonder whether or not it's symptomatic of a change in the safety aspect of football, in that sure tackling is kind of not quite what it used to be 10, 15 years ago.
He fits Miami, though, I think, because he's good against the run. Miami wants linebackers that, you know, when you're out there to defend the run, we want you to be good against the run. And when we're out there to do something else, then we want you to be good at the thing that we're asking you to do, whether it's pass rush or cover. And in his case, they're probably going to ask him to, you're out there to defend the run right now. These are the downs that you're out there to do it. And so he's going to do that. He's very good at that. And then on other occasions, okay, now we're going to blitz you up the A gaps or something like that. And he can do that. He's got a really good, pass rush productivity and efficiency and stuff like that. He can do that. Does he look really agile and really explosive and really fast and stuff like that? No, maybe Miami doesn't, in the new system, doesn't ask for that. I don't know. I like him. I don't love him. I mean, there are guys that I love. I love Devin White and Devin Bush and Blake Cashman. I think that, in particular, the fits for Miami would include straight on Jelani Tavai. Not just because of the size and the fact that he can pull that double duty, but because of the way that he's a leader on that defense too.
He's going to go higher than people think as well.
Yes, much higher, much higher.
It wouldn't surprise me if he went in the second round.
Yeah, that's what, kind of hearing today. Dane Brugler has been floating that today. You know, you could see him go in the second round. And I think it's all going to be the teams that play like Miami does. It's going to be like, the Titans and the Ravens and the Dolphins and the Patriots themselves. They're the ones that are going to be after him, I think. And so, watch out. But he strikes pretty square. I think Justin Hollins of Oregon, he's an outside linebacker pass rusher.
Another guy
right now.
The Dolphins have shown interest in.
Absolutely. He ran in the 4.4s. I watched him in the Shrine practices, and then, he got MVP in the Shrine game. If you're wondering how he's going to be played, how he fits at the next level, look at the Shrine game itself, because he did everything in that game. You know, he was a He was an outside linebacker pass rusher in the game. He was, you know, sort of an on-the-line Sam. He was an off-ball linebacker in the game. He was covering, and he was making plays. And that's and that he got the game MVP because he was used in all those different ways. And so I think he's a very intriguing, and also just a tremendous athlete. He's 6'5", like 240-some-odd pounds or something like that. He's a very big guy. He's a very strong guy. I think that he's a strong candidate for Miami. Mentioned Emeka Egbola of the Egbole of Houston. You know, extremely strong hands, just so goddamn physical, I think, when he's engaging blockers, tight ends, and he bullies these people around. And then he's also, but at Houston, he's played in some rush roles. He's been a very efficient pass rusher, not just a blitzer, but like an actual pass rusher from the outside. I'm forgetting the name of the kid that came out of Houston a couple of years ago that he replaced, but it was somebody that was a pass rusher like that, and he ended up, you know, making this rocket ship up the boards and going pretty high. Another guy that we should probably pay attention to, Trey Lamar out of Clemson, because he's so big and so strong. I mean, this guy is legitimately, you know, 255 pounds or something like that. Mm-hmm. You look at the body and the way it's not just the weight, right? It's the way it's structured, right? He's got these big shoulders and big arms. I mean, he is Tyus Bowser, you're right. That's the guy that Emeka Egbole replaced. Yeah. But Trey Lamar has 6'3", 253 pounds with these wide shoulders, big arms. You know, if you want a guy that can stop the run, that guy can stop the run. He is tremendous. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he can pass rush too, because he's so big and strong. If you want a guy that plays like Dont'a Hightower, then you're looking at Trey Lamar or Jelani Tavai. If you want a guy that can play a little bit more like Kyle Van Noy, then I think you're looking at like a Justin Hollins maybe a Emeka Egbole, somebody like that.
I think if you're looking for the Gerard Mayo, that takes you back to Tavai. And I'll tell you why, because the one thing that stands out for me most of all, and the one thing that will make him very high on, you know, you could easily see him as a number three linebacker on the Dolphins board, and it's his ability to process and his ability pre-snap to understand where people need to be and where he's supposed to be and what's happening. It's kind of elite level processing is the sort of thing that is going to make the Dolphins defensive coaches and Chris Greer start to really, you know, get excited, because that's the sort of thing that you're looking for. You know, Patrick Graham talked about what he was looking for: heavy-handed guys, intelligent guys, tough guys. That's what he wants in his defense, versatile guys. And, you know, that's tick, 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 tick. As well, you know, if you're looking for,
I think he boiled it down to like his hands, his leverage, and his eyes. Like that was those were the three things, and that's absolutely him. His eyes are tremendous. His eyes, I mean, you can't fool him. You can't fool him on where the ball's going.
Let me ask you guys about another guy. It always strikes me every single year when it's draft time, and I watch a guy who's been highly productive his entire college career, and was a top prospect coming out of high school, is thought of so little by the scouts. And maybe you guys could shed a little bit of light on this, because I think I know why he's going to be dropping on so many boards, and that's Deshaun Davis. Deshaun Davis is out of Alabama. He plays for Auburn. He chose Auburn over Alabama. He was one of the top recruits in the state of Alabama. And if you know a little bit about high school football, the best high school football is played in Florida, Alabama, Texas, those three states. Deshaun Davis has been highly productive for the Auburn Tigers. He has a sixth round grade. What's wrong with him, Simon? And
I think he's limited athletically. I think he's probably protected by a guy who's going to be a top five, top six pick next season, the big defensive tackle at Auburn. I think that's kind of helped him out a little bit. I think he's speed deficient. I don't think he's a particularly, you know, he's not somebody that's going to come downhill and plug a gap as a run defender, because I don't think he's a particularly short. He's not just somebody that's going to stick their nose in. To me, he's a special teams guy maximum. I don't think he's a lot more than that, really. I just think, you know, he's a tough guy, and that's something that Graham's interested in. But you know, I just don't think that you are. I just don't think he fits what the Dolphins are looking for. And I think ultimately he's a special teams kind of guy who probably in 2 or 3 years isn't even in the league, frankly.
I will say this. If the Dolphins ever play in the Iron Bowl, we need this guy playing middle linebacker for us because he's had 3 Iron Bowls. You got to look at the numbers from those 3 games.
We just talked about there about Jelani Tavai, the thing that stands out in terms of his elite processing. I think Davis is one of the guys that you flip it. He is a bad processor. I don't think he's particularly instinctive, and I don't think he particularly does a lot of pre-snap work that makes you sit up and take notice. And I think that would turn the Dolphins coaches off.
I'll throw a name out there for you as like a comparison, and it's a player that ended up being the same, I think, as Deshaun Davis, and that's Jeff Luke. Jeff Luke was a 5-star prospect coming out of high school, and you know, when it just came down to you know, him coming into the NFL, in the end, you're looking at a guy who's not particularly tall, not particularly big, not particularly fast, and he's a 2-down run defender. That's what Deshaun Davis is. He's 5'11 and 234 pounds. He doesn't have long arms or anything like that. He's not fast. He's definitely not fast. You know, he's probably one of those 4.9 type, you know, type guys.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, what does he do for Auburn? What is he good at? He's a thumper. Now, you can get that guy to play a role for you somewhere in the NFL. Vince Williams for the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of comes to mind. But you know, it's going to be limited. It's going to be really limited if he survives at all. And then you're looking at, okay, well, he's a run stopper that isn't particularly good in pass rush. You definitely can't rely on him to cover and all these things. But why am I going to take him above, like, Jermaine Pratt, who is kind of the same thing, but a little bit better in all of them, you know?
Yeah. And actually has some speed.
Yeah, and actually has some speed. He's, like, about 4.59, you know, 4.6 speed.
4.57 at the combine.
Yeah, and this guy does not, you know? Right. So I think that's really what happened to him. You know, Joe Dineen is another guy like that, although he's a little bit taller. He's 6'2", and I do like him. But, I mean, you're kind of looking at it, you're like, well, is there anything special about you though? And that, because otherwise it's really hard. Listen, if you're going to be a 3-down linebacker in the NFL, you either got to be a really good cover guy or you got to be a good, really good pass rush guy. And then on top of it, both of them have to layer their good run stopping ability. So which of those is he? He's not either.
Yeah.
Right, guys, coming up, we will talk defensive backs, and it's a hell of a class, both at cornerback and at safety. But first, this.
You're listening to the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've created a menu of intelligent and entertaining content on demand for commutes, workouts, and more. And by now, you're already familiar with the 15 different podcasts in our network. Today, we are proud to announce the premiere of our brand new website, 5ReasonSports.com. On it, you'll find columns from more than a dozen of our hosts, many who are professional writers in the market. Watch original videos from shows like Miami Heat Beat and Balls Cast. Browse our full merchandise shop. And unlike other outlets in the area, there's no paywall. Everything is absolutely free. All of this from a network that's credentialed from all 5 major sports teams in South Florida. Oh yeah. Did we mention that it's free? We're by Miami for Miami. We're sports on your schedule. We're Miami Sports on Demand. We're the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Go to 5ReasonSports.com today.
Hi, this is Craig Mish from Swings and Mishes here on the 5 Reasons Podcast Network. Just in case you missed any of our podcasts in the past, here's what you missed.
We have been extremely aggressive in trying to acquire additional international dollars, not just for, you know, potential free agents with 2 first names. It's nice that ownership is fully supportive and allowing us to do everything in our power to be the best team in this region and the gateway to America and for Miami to become a destination spot for for all Latin players because, you know, this is such an international city.
Welcome back to 3 Yards Per Carry. I am Simon Clancy, along with my friends Chris Kaufman, Alfredo Arteaga. We are, what are we, 11 days away from the draft? 9 days away from the draft?
Nine days.
It's getting exciting. It must be exciting.
Like, I mean,
it
5,000.
I know. When I was 20 years ago, the draft used to
feel like, yeah. The draft should have happened 3 weeks ago.
It really should, shouldn't it? Really should. Anyway, we are at the exciting point of the show, which is my favorite. I think probably my favorite position group in the entire draft, which is defensive backs. Dolphins obviously will look to increase the number of defensive backs on the field this season from playing like three and four. I'm being facetious with three, but you know, the fact that we barely played any more than we were supposed to, whereas the Patriots would sometimes play, you know, six, seven, probably on occasions eight defensive backs. You know, you look at the players that they had, Stephon Gilmore.
Do they even have a word for that?
Exactly. I mean,
like, what's that package called when it's eight defensive backs?
I mean, the non-Miami package, I think.
yeah.
But, you have Gilmore as a lockdown, of which we have Xavier as a lockdown. Then they had Jason McCourty, they had Patrick Chung, they had Dwayne
Harmon. That leads me to a pretty good story. I once asked a coach that shall not be named, why wouldn't you just play eight defensive backs on third and 15? And his answer was, who do you expect to tackle on the field?
It was Matt Burke, wasn't it?
And my answer, I wanted to argue with him and tell him, well, if they don't catch the ball, you don't have to tackle anybody, Mr. Burke.
So, Jesus. Corners. Let's start with corners first because it's a fascinating corner class as far as I'm concerned. There are some very interesting candidates. Much like Devin Bush. My favorite corner in this draft is Byron Murphy of Washington. I think he's just a phenomenal off-ball corner in terms of a zone coverage corner. I think he is fascinating, but I think scheme-specific to that, I think he struggles a bit more in press man. I think he just has incredible ball skills, hands on so many footballs. I just think he reads the game so well. But, you know, you go down the list, you look at, I mean, Murphy, you've got Greedy Williams, you've got Didi Baker, you've got Justin Lane, Julian Love, Rokyar Sin, the Presbyterian kid who went to Temple. You've got Sean Bunting, I mean, the Central Michigan kid who's, you know, a really interesting player. You've got Isaiah Johnson, who Chris loves, a Houston player. And there's Isaiah Johnson. You've got Jojuan Williams. You've got the Peavy kid at Iowa. You've got the boys at Kentucky. And, you know, there are... whatever you like, really. There isn't
Trayvon Mullen.
Trayvon Mullen of Clemson. You've got Justin Lane at Michigan State. You know, there's some real Armani. Orawara. I can't even say his name. The kid from Penn State.
I'm going to take a shot at it.
Go on, all hit right. me.
Armani Oriwave.
It's better than me.
I get it like a 7.5.
In fact, let me go get his pronunciation. It is Oruwawi A. That's how you say his name.
I think on the seventh try, you might have gotten pretty close to it.
Well, because I'm looking at the phonetic spelling of his name, and it's like odd.
Oruwariye
is how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Should I tell you a under-the-radar cornerback that the Dolphins will be all over because of
can you pronounce his name?
Yeah, I can absolutely nail his name. It's probably the easiest name to nail.
Nice.
It's a guy that people haven't talked about at all, but you look at his short shuttle, you look at his three cone. I mean, they are elite, and that's we know obviously that's what the Patriots put in it, a lot of stock in. And that's David Long of Michigan. His movement numbers are phenomenal. I know the Patriots were all over him at the Michigan Pro Day. I know a couple of people at Michigan who I've spoken to subsequently after being out there last year and said that the Patriots were all over David Long. I can see the Dolphins being in a very similar situation over a kid that we have not talked an awful lot about in terms of he's not really been in the bigger picture. But, you know, you look at the top guys. I mean, where do you boys stand on Murphy and on Williams, obviously, who's probably a guy who a really good down-the-field technician in terms of being able to stay close with guys deep down the field. less so, I think, on underneath routes, on crosses. I think, I've seen him give up considerable gaps. And then Baker, I suppose. Baker is probably the kid that played. I think he was my favorite. Yeah, I think he played 56% man, 44% zone last year. I think,
which is just like what Miami's going to do.
Absolutely,
that's almost the exact split.
And his split was the closest in terms of percentage wise of having played both than anybody else in the nation. So it's fascinating to see. I saw Albert Breer yesterday say that he'd heard that a lot of teams thought Rocky Sin would be the first corner off the board. A lot of teams like Justin Lane, the long arm corner at Michigan State. There's a lot out there, isn't there, boys?
Mm. I think as mentioned already, Dede Baker, DeAndre Baker might be my favorite overall corner. And let's not make it too complicated here. I've been watching him for a couple of years. He's been a playmaker for a couple of years. He's been a shutdown corner for a couple of years. He doesn't allow touchdowns. What is he? He says he's never allowed a touchdown. I think that, maybe PFF or someone, one of those, might disagree and say that he allowed a touchdown maybe years ago. But he's a shutdown corner. He's been a great corner. And to your point, Simon, about Byron Murphy, and his being sort of an off-ball zone corner, even the most man-oriented schemes in the NFL, which are the New England Patriots and now we assume the Miami Dolphins, are about half and maybe a little bit more than half man, right? I mean, so these guys coming in, they have to be able to play off ball corner. They have to be able to play zone, and because in the NFL there's no such thing as just pure man or pure zone, I think. But So yeah, I mean, there is a place for those Byron Murphys. Ultimately, do I feel like Byron listen, this corner position, I hate to say it. I know that nobody likes to talk about combine times and 40-yard dashes and stuff like that, but of all positions, this one matters most. It's the most important, or the position is the most sensitive to that sort of stuff because it is so speed-dependent. And Byron Murphy running a 4.55 at like only 5'10" and 190 pounds or something like that. He's a plow against the run. I mean, he's vicious. I give him that. Yeah, he will smack you, but he's smacking you with 5'10" and 190 pounds. So it's not, he's as aggressive as he is. It's not what some other guys will give you that way. And then, is he running well enough? Listen, the Patriots and their man dependent scheme, if you look across their secondary and the guys that play corner there, especially the guys that play man outside corner, they're all speedy. They're all very fast and they have been, and they run, low 4.4s, 4.3s, stuff like that. That's what they get. So you talked about David Long, and he's got one of the fastest three cone drills ever, 6.45. But he also ran a 4.45. He's pretty fast too. He's not just agile. I think that he's a strong candidate for Miami, strong candidate for clearly New England since they're all over him. And I think Dede Baker is another one of those guys, although, did he run fast? Did he not run fast enough? I thought it was not great at 4.52. I don't know if he went back to his pro day and improved it. Xavien Howard didn't run great at the combine either. I think he's faster than that. But Greedy Williams he's such a good fit for Miami's defense. That Alf, you plugged him in as your guy at 13 in the mock draft.
Yeah.
And I could see why. I could see why he's such a good fit. I mean, he doesn't give you much against the run, but that's fine.
Next time he hits somebody will be the first time. But
yeah, right. But he's so tall and lengthy, and he's
so sticky. If you watch him in man coverage, he's so sticky. He's like all over the wide receiver on every play, and that's just what you need on opposite of Xavien Howard.
And such,
I think,
such
he, I think he struggles. I don't like him on underneath routes. I think he can. I think I've seen it too much ability to give up yardage and coverage. And we can talk about he's great down the field. I mean, how many times realistically a team's it's not like we're just lining up and he's running 60 yards down the field, on every snap. Do you know what I mean? It's the way the game is in terms of you know, he scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, to me, I think you know, I think we discussed this a couple.
Well, he's absolutely one dimensional. We can all
the kid at LSU. Yeah, I mean, I prefer the other kid at LSU, who will be a first-round pick next year. The kid who was suspended for 3 years, whose name completely escapes me. But, I mean, I think he's the – of the two of them, I think he's the better – I actually think he's the better NFL prospect. But,
We'll see. Greedy allowed 27 catches on 67 targets, you know, which is – I think it's pretty good. I think, you know, he clearly doesn't give you much against the run. I think if you're going to beat him, that is where you beat him, absolutely. Is underneath. I think that he shows me such good agility and hips. It's not like one of these tall guys that allows a bunch of underneath stuff, like Jamal Peters from Mississippi State comes to mind, allows a bunch of underneath stuff because they can't move, like Sean Smith of you know, formerly of Utah, played for the Miami Dolphins. You know, they're so big that they can't move. That's not Greedy's problem. I think Greedy's problems are more technical, and I see that as almost like room for improvement because, you know, he's so physically gifted and so agile and tall and lengthy and everything that you want, that when you start to teach him better technique and he starts to really absorb it, he could get scary good. I think that's what has – he's very – I've heard that he's very polarizing, and clearly he even is on this podcast, but – I think there's potential there. I like him, you know, but Isaiah Johnson is my guy as far as somebody I'd buy in the mid rounds and just, you know, let that guy develop and be awesome, because I think he's like Greedy Williams, except he'll smack you so hard. He's, you know, he's very, very physical, and he's got that kind of speed and that kind of length, and he's also got agility. Not quite as much as Greedy Williams, maybe, but I mean, it's close. It's really, I think he's awesome.
Now, let me give you guys a guy that shouldn't be polarizing, because every time I watch this guy, I try to find a reason not to, you know, not to like him and not to want to draft him all that high. But his film is rock solid, and that's Julian Love. I don't see a flaw. Maybe he's limited to, I don't know, playing in certain type of defenses, more zone oriented, but
I think he's probably a nickel. Simon? I think he's a nickel. I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's a nickel corner. And I think that's where teams think he will play. I just think there's too much noise around him playing inside rather than outside. I think that's probably where he's best suited. One guy I'm quite – I've just seen Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft, which he's just released. His number two corner – in this draft that he's just done, going at number 20 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, is Lonnie Johnson of Kentucky, who is all over the board in terms of some people have in the first round, some people have in the third and fourth round. I mean, you know, there's a number of, you know, Mike Edwards, a safety, who I, again, another potential Dolphin candidate, I think some of the Dolphins have been interested in. But Johnson is a really, I mean, I can't think of many more polarizing prospects in the entire draft than Lonnie Johnson in terms of where his stock is right now.
Well, he's big.
Absolutely. I think he's all over the place. I used to watch Kentucky's secondary in 2017, and it really stood out to me because of, you know, it wasn't one guy. Like, I was trying to isolate one guy. Okay, well, who's the guy? Who's the man here? And if Mike Edwards wasn't the man, then, you know, it was Derek Beatty, or it was, the other guy, Darius something or other, who's Darius West, who's a safety there, and another guy that I like, and actually underrated guy. If you want a guy to just pick up as a UDFA, that is, you know, unbelievable in athletically, Chris Westry from Kentucky also. Secondary is just full of talent, absolutely full of talent. I watched Lonnie Johnson, and actually I didn't like him that much in 2017. They kind of mixed him, he and Chris Westry, up a lot. I wanted to see Westry play some more. You know, it's just, it wasn't all that compelling to me. I watched him again this year. He clearly had grown into it. He's 6'1". I think he's got so physically attractive at 6'1" and 213 pounds that with nearly 33-inch arms. I mean, that's why it's his frame. It's his frame, and, you know, he's got good speed too. He's 4'5". I think that's what's getting people, But I just, I'm not there. I'm not there on him. His tape isn't there. His Senior Bowl, he was at the Senior Bowl, wasn't he? And he wasn't that good. Right. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting the names that the Dolphins have brought in. Trayvon Mullen, obviously, that we talked about. Clemson is the guy that they've shown interest in, as have Michael Jackson.
Oh, wait. He volunteered himself, remember?
He did. He did.
He showed up on their doorstep.
He got in the building. Michael Jackson of
Miami. He's worth the draft pick just for that alone.
Absolutely. Jimmy Moreland of James Madison is a guy that they've had in.
Oh, I love that guy.
Derek Beatty of Kentucky is a guy that's been in. Donnie Lewis of Tulane. Derek Thomas of Baylor. And then even Kadar Holman of Toledo. I mean, you go down the list. Mm. I mean, Chris, you just mentioned the guy there. You know, Moreland, really good player. But you look even, you know, you got guys like Kendall Sheffield, Ham Cheevers, and Beatty, who we talked about, Xavier Crawford, who was the guy that was lined up on the other side against Sean Bunting, who was a kid I really liked. I mean, this draft is loaded well into day three for decent defensive backs, isn't it?
And your guy, Mark Fields.
Mark Fields, the guy that Dabo Swinney said was the best man cover corner on the Clemson roster, you know, over Trayvon Mullen. So, an absolute speed demon. But, yeah, what about the safety position? Because, again, that is another position that is absolutely loaded. And again, you go, you know, Taylor Rapp, and you know, there's something for everybody. You know, if you want cover guys, then there's one Thornhill. If you want guys who are going to come down into the box and knock the snot out of you, then you've got Jonathan Abraham. You know, you want guys who can play inside, outside, can play free safety, can play single high, then you've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you've got Nazir Adderley. You want guys who can play, you know, deep center field safety, then you've got Deontay Thompson. You've got
a lot of nickel guys. Like a guys that can come into that nickel corner type position.
And then, you know, we haven't even talked about Darnell Savage and a kid I really like, Amani Hooker, and Marquise Blair and Edwards and Saquon Hampton, and the guy that, now if you like, Sheldrick Redwine of Miami. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
Lucas Dennis of Boston College, a guy that shows up on tape. And you just think, again, much like the cornerback, that, you know, it feels to me, even though we've got Minka, it does feel like we're not, you know, clearly the coaching staff know what they're going to do, but it doesn't automatically feel like he's going to go straight back to safety, because his best position has been, you know, inside in the nickel. So, you know, you look at there's potential for, you know, I mean, it's hard to tell what's going to happen with McDonald and with Jones. There's potential for both sets of both flavors of guys, really, isn't there? There's the guys that run into the box and smack you in the mouth, but also the guys that can sit deep center field. Again, it's a very, very interesting and very versatile safety class.
And I think Miami spent some time with Juan Thornhill. I think
give you another guy that probably should be in this group, and he's going to be a late draft pick, but I've seen that lately the local beat writers are trying to resurrect his name. A few years ago, the University of Miami poached one of the best athletes in the state of Alabama away from the Crimson Tide, and that was Michael Jackson. And when he got here, it was everybody was already counting down the days till he would be a first round pick. Now he's not gonna be a first round pick. He's probably gonna be a fifth or sixth round pick. But what do you think of Michael Jackson, Simon? This is a guy that had I wouldn't say a great college career, although he seemed to turn it around in his senior year. Do you think that he could find his way onto, let's say, some coverages on an NFL team, or is he just slated to be one of these 1, 2, 3 and out guys?
I mean, Jackson, I mean, I didn't like him after the Thriller album and thought he did his best with a Jackson 5. But I mean, to me, he's a corner. I mean, Jaquan Johnson is the kid, I think, that if we're talking safeties, I think Johnson is the kid that, you know, is the kid that will play safety. I mean, to me, Jackson is a fairly
he's a freakish athlete, Michael Jackson.
He's a totally freakish athlete, but I think, you know, a 6'1",
it's just playing football that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly, which, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the kid that we talked about, a linebacker earlier on from Auburn. It feels like, you know, you've got all the skills, but does he really?
Yeah, this guy. Yeah, Michael Jackson's the opposite of this.
I'll say this about the corner position, though. This is where the corner position is unlike the linebacker position, which is the linebacker position, you know, and a guy like Deshaun Davis. I mean, well, these prospects are unlike each other. Deshaun Davis is not athletic, and you know the corner position,
but highly productive.
When you are athletic,
instinctive wise, you know.
Yeah, just but when you are athletic, like Michael Jackson is, because he's 6'2" and 208 pounds, not 80, 208 pounds. he has a 33-inch arm length. 33-inch arm length. So he's got.
And he jumps 40 inches vertical.
Yeah, he's got a great body, a 4.45, 40 and a half inch vertical, as you said, a 10-foot, 10-inch broad jump, 4.12 shuttle. I mean, he's a great athlete. I saw him live at the Shrine practices. Very first day that I was there, I was down on the field, and I'm looking around, and I see him, and I'm just watching these guys during individual drills, right? And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, holy shit, who's that? I don't keep up on University of Miami stuff, so I don't know the guy in advance. I'm like, you know, wow, who's that guy? That guy really, you know, passes the test, the eyeball test. And I'm watching him, and you know, he's playing, and he's actually doing all right in that setting. And I think that's sort of this position, this corner position, is odd in that these guys can go higher from here. Like, they might not have been great in college, and then, you know, before you know it, they're like a starter in the NFL because they're so big and so strong or so fast and agile and so gifted that it sort of ends up working out for them and they get snaps. And I think that's the nature of this position in the NFL, is it demands extremely high athleticism and you know, great frame and agility and all that stuff, and the jumping skills. He's got all of that, so he's going to surface and he's going to play. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, you just look at how good of an athlete he is, the way he's built, and his experience in college. He's going to end up playing. I just think
hips wise, he's just tight in his hips. Mm-hmm. I don't think his feet are very good. I think he's probably just a zone corner, a cover two corner. And again, he could end up, you know, being out of the league in 3-4 years' time. I think Johnson is a safety, going back to the safeties. I think he has more upside as a prospect. It's disappointing the way he played last season.
It's disappointing how he played all 4 years.
Well, I think he had the ability. You'd looked at it a year ago and thought, you know, he could train on into a semi decent prospect, a solid day two prospect. And I don't think he did. But I think he has more upside, I think, than and I wonder whether or not, how much of it comes down to coaching.
I want to ask you this question, though, about, cause getting back to the safety position, right? We're on safety. How much do you think it matters? Because here are two safeties that heading into the year were one thing, and now it's like, you know, I don't know. Taylor Rapp of Washington and Deontay Thompson of Alabama. Deontay Thompson is so slow, he won't even run. He refuses. Yeah. So that's a big concern. Taylor Rapp, when he did run, I think he's tied with Deontay Thompson because he's still not running, or he's still not done running. So these guys are slow, but they were good college players, right? Mm. They were really good. And another guy I'll throw in because he was an excellent college player is Malik Gant of Marshall. What do you do with these guys? Like, what happens to them in the NFL? Is the safety position like the corner position, where it just absolutely demands that you be so, you know, impressive? Or is there a little forgiveness?
Man, I think it's about instincts, really, at the safety position. And if you're slow, you know, I guess you can't make – You can't make some plays that the faster instinctual guy is going to make, but most of the time, the guy that's really, really fast and is, you know, is one of those spectacular athletes playing safety is either going to go in the top 10 already. And, you know, it's not really going to matter. These are guys that are going to be in the second, third round. I think you want the guy that's going to produce. I think you want the productive guy at the safety position. I only get scared about slow guys in the perimeter, to be honest with you.
I would tend to overlook it,
to be honest with you.
I think instinctively Thompson, I mean, he has great instincts, but you want everything in front of him. You don't want him having to turn and run. That's not his strength. And I think that was highlighted against Oklahoma in the championship semifinal, where on the
he had a bad corner that he had to save. Literally, Savion Smith.
He really did. As for Rapp, I don't think, you know, I don't think Rapp, again, I don't think he's an athletic marvel on any level.
He looks good on film, doesn't he?
He does, and because I tell you why, it's because he's ridiculously instinctive. He completely understands what he has to do in terms of the game of football. He, and it goes back to the Hawaii linebacker that we talked about. I just think in terms of his football intelligence and his ability to know what he's doing and to read the play and to understand what's happening, that makes up for the distinct lack of, you know, because he doesn't look, he doesn't play, and he doesn't arrive late to plays, even though he ran a very slow time. I just think he is a kid that, you know, you watch his tape and you see him break, you know, he's diving in front of balls and he's tipping balls away and he's, you know, he's arriving at the right time. And I just think a lot of that is just pre-snap. And it's one of those things where teams will might go, oh, he ran a 4.86. I mean, it's not, you know, and then in 5 years time, we're saying, you know, that's Taylor Rapp's third All-Pro selection. Why do we miss on this kid? And then you go, oh, well, we did the same thing with Anquan. We did the same thing with Jarvis Landry, and the same thing with Anquan Boldin, the same thing with Jerry Rice, and look where we are now. Just you look at those high level intelligent kids, and I'd much rather one of those, you know, and a guy that can, you know, look, he's slow comparatively speaking, but he's not slow in reality. And I think you'd rather somebody like that than somebody who has got no instincts whatsoever, but run, you know, take Michael Jackson. It's got, you know,
I think these guys can play cover two, like cover two safety. You know, I think that they can play, you know, sort of like, you know, maybe man free, where they're using their instincts a little bit more. I think when you get a guy back there at free safety, the where it shows up and he's slow is you're gonna see some big runs on that defense. You're gonna see, like, when the running back actually breaks through the second level and you don't have a free safety with some jets, then you know, he doesn't limit that run, that ends up going 76 yards into the house. So, you know, that's where the danger is, I think, with a guy like that. I think that cover two safety, you often feel like you can cover up some speed deficiencies. That might be where Deontay Thompson and Taylor Rapp and Malik Gant and have to make their bones at the next level. You know, I think you mentioned, though, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is an interesting safety because he's such a good player. But he's also, like, he's so good. It's a bit like Minka Fitzpatrick in that he's so good from the slot. He's so good from the slot, and as like a slot corner, that you're wondering, you know, well, do I want him back there, you know, deep, or do I want him up there, you know, working the slot like Minka Fitzpatrick does? I think there are a couple of these guys in the draft. If you look at Amani Hooker and the way he plays, if you look at Mike Edwards and the way these guys play the slot. Ugo Amadi of Oregon, they play the slot. That's what they do.
I would say that Amani Hooker wins the film pageant out of almost all of these guys, because
Hooker's a really good player.
Yeah, his film pops. You go back to
Gardner Johnson. You go back 2 years ago and watch him at free safety, and you're like, right, wow, you did. This kid is really good at free safety. But the point you just made is that he looks even better at the nickel. just before we get out of here, and we're about to get out of here, give us a guy at the top end of the safety board, and then a guy that you like, you know, further down, a day three guy potentially. Alpha, start with you quickly. Okay. One guy at the top, one guy at the bottom.
Okay, one guy at the top, Nasir Adderley. If you watch him play,
nice.
Okay, he can't play up top, but he's more probably suited to be playing near the box. Rashad Jones is not for long.
But again, he can play inside, outside, corner, and he can play, you know, safety as well.
Exactly.
Related to Herb Adderley, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's his nephew.
This is a guy who's a natural replacement for Rashad Jones in a year, can play in a lot of coverages right away. So, yeah, Nasir Adderley would be my guy out of Delaware.
I think he can play up top. He's got range.
Yeah. Well, I would look for him, start looking for him already as soon as it turns to the second round, because teams are on to him already. And the guy toward the end of the draft, but I wouldn't say too far, I'd say maybe fourth, fifth round, start looking for him, because he's a physical dynamo, and that's Sheldrick Redwine. If you watch him, if you watch enough University of Miami football, all you see is the announcers talking about Jaquan Johnson, and then you watch Sheldrick Redwine run right past him to make the play that Jaquan Johnson should have made. And there's nothing really wrong with him physically either. You know, he runs under 4.5. He almost jumped 40 inches vertically. He's 6 feet, almost 200 pounds. He'll hit you. He can run with cornerbacks because he's played outside a little bit as well because he moved very briefly a couple of years ago to play corner for a three-game stretch and was effective there too. So Sheldrick Redwine is a guy I've always liked. Look for him fifth round. Definitely in the fifth round, past the fifth round, he's already off the board somewhere. So fifth round, Sheldrick Redwine.
There you go.
I'm gonna up top. It's been the same guy for months, and I wanna make sure that people don't think that I'm just following combine times and stuff like that because this was way before he tested anything. But Juan Thornhill of Virginia has been a guy that stood out to me for a long time because of his versatility and the way that he can be used, his versatility in coverage. They used him on that defense in all kinds of different ways. And he did well with all of it. And he pulled down like a billion interceptions. He was, you know, his very instinctive ball hawk. And oh yeah, he tests out like Byron Jones. I mean, he's an amazing athlete. And you would have known that sort of, or at least you would have known his vertical if you watched some of his basketball clips. But yeah, anyway, he's a fantastic player. I think he's a first round player. He's not being projected to the first round. I would personally do that. So that's my guy. That's my guy at the top. The guy down at the bottom is somewhere in between Ugo Amadi, who I mentioned before, of Oregon. Again, another playmaker. He has interceptions. He's instinctive. You watch him play. You know, he plays at a fast speed on the field. You know, he's running all out, and he's a tackler. The only thing is he's only 5'9", and so some people feel some kind of way about that. And that's okay. But and the other one is, I mentioned him again already, is from Marshall, Malik Gant. And Malik Gant, what he is, like I said, he might be limited to sort of a cover two because he runs about a 4.60 or something like that. And he's not particularly huge either, but he's a box safety. And man, does this guy read his run keys and blaze to the football as fast as anybody I've seen in this draft. I don't care how fast they time or what kind of player they are. He's running all out at all times. And these other guys don't run all out at all times because they're reading. You know, they're looking with their eyes, and so they're kind of playing at their comfortable sort of 80% speed. I personally believe that he's playing faster than that because he reads things so fast. He's learned to read advanced keys against the run, really advanced ones. He grades out like one of the best safeties in this entire draft. And just because he ran some disappointing stuff at the combine, I'm not going to just throw him in the garbage. I think that he's a good day three type of guy, along with Ugo Amadi.
Nice. I'm going to go with Gardner Johnson. I just love his versatility. The guy at the bottom end, I mean, I loved MJ Stewart last year of North Carolina. I thought he was a terrific prospect. And Mike Edwards of Kentucky just reminds me of MJ Stewart. Just the versatility. This kind of, again, we talked about it all night, instinctual, the above average instincts. He's aware, he's tough, he's going to come down, he's going to smack you in the mouth. I think he's rangy as well. I mean, this is just a good rangy player who, you know, he's throwing that Kentucky tape to watch Josh Allen, and you see Mike Edwards standing out time and time and time again. He's going to come down the alley, he's going to smack you in the mouth, and you end up 10 years later going, hell, Mike Edwards is a really solid pick in the fourth, fifth round. I just think, again, this is a guy that you can play nickel, corner, you can play two high safety, and, you know, and just that kind of plus size to handle, you know, bigger slot receivers and run support duty. I just think he's a really, really interesting player. And I just think overall it's a really terrific defensive back class. So we should
leader
see
of a secondary
out.
Full of NFL players. Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Leader of a secondary full of NFL players.
Absolutely. That is not that's not a bad thing to be. So we shall see. Boys, thank you very much indeed. It's been another cracker. Hope you've enjoyed it listening at home. We are 9 days away. Well, actually, I am 8 days away from the draft because it's 1:15 in the morning. So the draft is closer for me than it is for you fuckers. So,
And next week's our big, big draft show. We'll go round for round, just like last year.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Caddy. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.